Welcome back. In this lesson, we're doing something that feels tiny, but makes a ridiculous difference in drum and bass, where you place tape hiss in the mix, not throw some noise on top and call it vibe. I mean deliberate placement, level, frequency, dynamics, and arrangement with a resampling-only workflow. So by the end, the hiss is printed audio that you can edit like a drum loop or a crash, not some plugin you forgot was running. This is intermediate. I'm assuming you can route tracks, set sidechains, resample, and EQ without getting lost. Here's the target. We're going to build three printed hiss layers, each with a job. 1. An AIR layer that lives way up top and blues the hats and snare air. 2. A body layer that feels like room tone and dust, and it moves with the groove. 3. An FX layer for transitions, risers, little vacuum moments, and phrase markers. And the main mindset shift is this. Hiss is not always on. Hiss is a part, like cymbals or ambience. It should have rhythm sensitivity and section contrast. Step 0. Set the context so your hiss is calibrated correctly. Set your tempo to 172 to 174 BPM. Make a basic loop. Drums with a break plus a kick and snare, and a bass that's doing the rolling reese and sub thing. Nothing fancy. The key is headroom. On your master, do not be slamming. Aim for about minus 6 dB peak while you build. Because if you build hiss into an already crushed loop, you'll either crank the hiss until it's annoying, or you'll never hear it and you'll keep pushing high end for no reason. Now step 1. Create the source that we're going to print from. Make a new MIDI track and name it Hiss Source and put in parentheses, print me. That name matters because you want to build the habit. This is not a permanent sound generator. It's a temporary source that will get committed. Drop an operator. On oscillator A, choose noise white. Start the level around minus 18 dB. Quiet. If you start loud, you'll end up mixing hiss like it's a lead synth. And that's how you get fatigue. Then add auto filter. Set it to a high pass, 24 dB slope. Start the frequency around 4.5 kHz. You can move between 3 and 6 kHz depending on how bright your drums are. Add a little resonance, somewhere around 0.3 to 0.6, just enough to give it a tiny character. After that, add saturator. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. We're not trying to distort it into white fizz. We're trying to make it feel more like tape system noise than a sterile noise generator. Then put utility at the end and set gain so this track is peaking somewhere around minus 24 to minus 18 dB. Again, quiet. Optional move if you want that unstable tape feeling. Add chorus ensemble very subtly. Amount around 10 to 20%. Rate around 0.15 to 0.30 Hz. Slow. You want drift, not wobble. Now create a MIDI clip. 4 bars long, 1 long note, like C3, held for the whole clip. Loop it. That gives you continuous hiss while you record. Step 2. Print it to audio. Commit early. Create a new audio track named Hiss Print. Set audio from to your hiss source track. Set monitor to in. Arm Hiss Print and record 16 bars. When you're done, turn off the hiss source track. Literally disable it. This is the resampling-only mentality. Decisions get printed. You can always make another version later, but you don't leave generators running just in case. Now step 3. Split into 3 purposeful layers. Duplicate Hiss Print twice. Rename the 3 audio tracks. Hiss Air, top. Hiss Spy, mid. Hiss FX, transitions. Same raw hiss, 3 different roles. Now let's mix layer 1. Hiss Air, top. The goal here is expensive air and glue. This is the layer that makes fast breaks and clean one-shots feel like they belong in the same world, without touching the sub or low mids. Add EQ 8. High pass it aggressively. I'm serious. Try 6 to 9 kHz, 24 dB slope. Sometimes you'll end up higher than you think. Then optionally add a gentle, wide bell boost around 10 to 12 kHz, like plus 1 to plus 3 dB. Wide Q. If it starts sounding like sandpaper, stop. If it starts sounding like the record opened up, you're close. Next, add a compressor with sidechain from your drum group, ratio around 2 to 1. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release 60 to 120 milliseconds, and you're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. Teacher note here, don't sidechain it so hard that the hiss becomes an obvious pumping effect. You want the hiss to politely move out of the way when the snare crack happens, then come back like breathing. If you can hear the compressor, you went too far. Then utility, make it wide, 120 to 160% width, and set the gain very low. Start at minus 30 to minus 24 dB, and bring it up slowly in context. Arrangement tip, keep IR on in the drop, but automate it down 1 to 2 dB in super busy fills. that keeps your top end from stacking into harshness when the drummer goes crazy. And here's an important coaching habit. Calibrate your hiss against the loudest 8 bars, not the intro. Loop the densest drop section while setting levels. Then automate down for intro and breakdown. If you level in the intro first, the hiss will be way too loud once the full drums and bass arrive. Now layer 2, hiss body, mid. This is the room tone, dust, sampler wear layer. It's subtle, but it's the one that makes breaks feel less sterile and helps glue drums and bass together without adding musical clutter. Put EQ 8 first, high pass at 200 to 400 Hz. Do not fight the sub. Then if it's boxy, a gentle low shelf cut around 500 Hz, minus 1 to minus 3 dB. Then low pass around 8 to 12 kHz, so it's less fizzy than the IR layer. Add saturator, drive 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. This is where you can make it feel smoky instead of shiny. Now the key move, gate, and we're going to key it from the drums. Turn on sidechain in the gate and set the sidechain input to your drum group. Set threshold so it opens mainly when the break and snare activity is happening. Attack 1 to 5 ms, hold 20 to 40 ms, release 80 to 180 ms. What you're doing is making the hiss dance with the groove. This is the cymbal mindset. It should share rhythm sensitivity. If your hats swing or your break has ghost notes, your body layer should feel like it's reacting to that, not just sitting there like a blanket. Arrangement tip. Use body mostly in the drop and pull it out in breakdowns. That contrast is free energy, which brings me to another coaching trick. Pick one section where hiss is intentionally absent. 2 bars with zero hiss anywhere in the track gives the listener a clean reference. When the hiss comes back, it feels like a lift, even if you didn't touch the drums. Now layer 3, hiss effects, transitions. This one is for movement, tension, and impact around section changes. Start by doing audio editing, not plugins. Grab a few 1 bar and 2 bar segments of the printed hiss and consolidate them so they're easy to manage. Reverse one of them to make a swell. Then add auto filter and automate a sweep. For example, start a high pass low, like 500 Hz, and sweep it up into the 8 to 12 kHz region leading into the drop. You can also do the opposite sometimes. Start bright and close it down right before the drop to create a vacuum. Add a little reverb if you want space. Size around 40 to 70%. Decay 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. High cut 6 to 9 kHz so it doesn't turn into harsh fizz. Dry wet 8 to 18%. Subtle. And then, resampling only rule. Print again. Resample the effects so the automation and reverb are baked into audio. That makes it easy to chop. Nudge, reverse again, and place precisely. D-N-B arrangement moves that work constantly. 1 bar pre-drop. Reverse hiss swell, then a quick mute right before the downbeat. That tiny moment of less top end makes the drop hit harder. Right after the drop, a short hiss burst, like a quarter bar, layered with your crash or impact. Every 16 bars, a filtered hiss ramp into a break edit so the listener subconsciously feels the phrasing. Now step 7. Actual placement in the mix. This is where most people get it wrong, because they think placement is just fader level. It's not. It's level plus spectrum plus dynamics plus contrast. First, level in context. Mute all hiss layers. Bring up AIR until you barely miss it when you mute it again. That's the sweet spot. Then bring up body until the breaks feel more together, then back it off by about 1 dB. Effects should be obvious only during transitions, not throughout. Ballpark. AIR often ends up down around minus 30 to minus 22 dB RMS-ish. Body similar or slightly lower. And your master should not noticeably jump when hiss comes in. If it makes the whole mix feel louder, you're not adding vibe, you're adding level. Next, park the hiss away from the snare crack. A lot of D&B snares have presence and crack around 2 to 5 kHz and air around 8 to 12 kHz. If your snare loses definition, don't just turn down the hiss. Try a small dip on the hiss around 3 kHz, like 1 to 3 dB with a medium Q. This is that masking behavior mindset. A tiny notch in the annoying band can let you keep the overall hiss slightly louder, but less distracting. If hats get scratchy, tame 10 to 12 kHz on the IR, or low pass the body more aggressively. Then mono compatibility. High pass all hiss layers so there's no low stuff. AIR can be wide. Body should be more controlled, like 100 to 120% width. If you go wide on everything, the mix loses focus. Quick translation check. Turn your monitoring level down. At low volume, hiss becomes proportionally more noticeable. If at quiet playback it reads as static, reduce some 8 to 12 kHz energy, or make the dynamics more drum reactive with your sidechain and gate timings. Now step 8, make it feel like tape instead of plugin noise. Because we've printed audio, we can add tiny variations that feel real. Use clip envelopes on one of the hiss layers, automate volume with small randomish moves, plus or minus half a dB to maybe 1.5 dB. Very small, just enough to stop it from sounding like a straight line. And another trick, auto pan, but not for panning. Set the phase to 0 degrees, rate super slow like 0.05 to 0.15 Hz, amount 5 to 12%. With phase at 0, it behaves more like an amplitude wobble than a stereo spin. Again, subtle movement, like unstable media. If you like the result, print again. The more you commit, the easier it is to arrange confidently. Let's hit common mistakes so you can avoid the classic traps. Mistake 1. Leaving hiss full range. If you don't high pass, it will cloud sub and low mids fast, even if it's quiet. Mistake 2. Making it a constant blanket. Static hiss shrinks drums and causes ear fatigue. Make it groove reactive. Mistake 3. Too bright too early. If your intro already has full AIR hiss, the drop has nowhere to expand. Save something for the payoff. Mistake 4. Overwidening. Wide hiss plus wide drums plus wide synths equals unfocused. Keep body controlled. Mistake 5. Not printing. If you don't commit, you don't really learn placement. You just keep tweaking. A couple pro tips if you're doing darker, heavier DNB. Make body work like distortion glue. Push saturator drive 3 to 6 dB, then low pass at 7 to 9 kHz to keep it smoky, not fizzy. Sidechain body slightly from the bass group if your reese is huge, so the low mid growl stays up front. Right before the drop, automate a narrow EQ boost around 6 to 7 kHz on the FX layer for the last half bar, then snap it back at the drop. That creates pressure without adding musical content. And if you want a dubplate wear moment, print a hiss burst, run a very subtle beat repeat on it, then resample the result and use it only for a 1 or 2 bar fill. Keep it rare so it stays special. Now a quick practice structure to lock it in. Make a 32 bar loop, bars 1 to 16, intro or tease, bars 17 to 32, drop. AIR is on in the drop, low in the intro. Body is gated to the drums and only in the drop. FX is a reverse swell into bar 17. Constraints. No hiss below 250 Hz. Verify with EQ8. This audio version is shortened for playback.